gave place to the book of Jeremiah. The book of Jeremiah in chapter 23. Jeremiah chapter 23, please. Jeremiah chapter 23, and we're going to read from verse 21. And we do trust this will be an encouragement to all our brethren who have something from the Lord for us today. This word is not a word of criticism. I trust it will be a word of encouragement to all my dear brethren who are going to take the public place this weekend. Jeremiah chapter 23, please, and verse 21. I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel and had caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their doings. Down the passage, please, to verse 28. The prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream. And he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, saith the Lord? Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? Now, in these next three verses, brethren, I want you to notice the word against. Notice it as we read it carefully. Therefore, behold, I am against the prophet, saith the Lord, that steal my word, every one from his neighbor. Number one. Number two, verse 31, behold, I am against them that prophesy. I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that use their tongues and say, he saith. The number 3, verse 32, behold, I am against them that prophesy false dreams, saith the Lord, and do tell them, and cause my people to err by their lies and by their likeness. Yet I sent them not, nor commanded them. Therefore, they shall not profit. Oh, brethren, get that word. They shall not profit. This people at all, saith the Lord. Finally, please, in verse 36. And the burden of the Lord shall ye mention no more. For every man's word shall be his burden, for ye have perverted. Oh, brethren, get that word. For ye have perverted the words of the living God, of the Lord of hosts, our God. Now I'm sure today, brethren, that the Lord will bless this very searching and very solemn reading of his own precious word. I want to repeat what I said in case there is any misunderstanding. I'm here to try and encourage my brethren that as they come to the public place, that they might come with the word of God and they might speak it faithfully, that there might be profit and wheat for the people of God today. There are three simple ideas I want to leave with you very briefly. Number one, we want to look at the meaning of the thought of the prophet. The meaning of the thought of the prophet. Because, brethren, time and time again, in Jeremiah 23, you'll read the prophet, the meaning of the prophet. Secondly, we're going to look at the movements of the prophet. And then, thirdly, we want to look at the ministry of the prophet. The meaning, the movement, and then the ministry and message of the prophet. Number one, what is the idea of the prophet? Now you and I know today there are no prophets officially. I think 1 Corinthians and 2 Peter and other passages of the Word of God would make it very clear to all our minds that we don't have prophets in the sense that they had prophets in the early New Testament and even in Old Testament times. A prophet needed a revelation from God. Brethren, we have the Word of God today. We don't get any revelations today, but what we need is, we need the interpretation of the revelation that we have in the Word of God. So we don't really have any official prophets as they did in the days of Jeremiah and in the early days of the church's history in the New Testament. But my dear brother, I want to say this very tenderly today. Representatively, God has prophets in a representative sense. What do we mean? The prophets in the Old Testament, they brought the mind and will of God to the people of God. Now, brethren, that's what we want this weekend. That's what all the saints want this weekend. What do they want? They want men who will come to the public place and who will bring the mind and will of God to the people of God. Therefore, my dear brethren, let me speak very tenderly to you now. My dear brethren who have an exercise about the ministry this weekend, about the preaching of the gospel this weekend, my dear brother, as taking up the prophet, the meaning of the prophet now for us, representatively, any man that would stand here, he is taking the place as a representative for God. My brother, that's a tremendous privilege. But that's a great responsibility. I want to say something. Men who handle the Word of God in a public sense, I want to say this to you, my brother, by way of encouragement. You know, that's a great privilege indeed. That you would be a representative of God and for God, and you would come and handle the things of God. My brother, that's a great privilege indeed that God is giving to us today. But remember, it's a great responsibility. You're accountable to the Lord. Could I just say this in passing, my dear brethren, would I ask you, as you're about to come to the public platform this weekend, would you remember that you have a great responsibility that must be met at the judgment seat of Christ? You can't handle God's things, brethren, in a light way. We must never come here and handle God's things with a light hand and with a lightness. We ought to come recognizing not only the wonderful privilege, but the great responsibility in the light of the judgment seat of Christ. Because, brethren, if I interpret 1 Corinthians 3 correctly, in the light of the judgment seat of Christ, it's the ministry of God's representative prophets. And what we have built in relation to the assembly of God that is going to be assessed at the judgment seat of Christ. Therefore, my brethren, let me encourage you now. The meaning of the prophet is that representatively we come and we desire to bring the mind and the word and the will of God to God's people. That's the meaning of the prophet. Secondly, could we consider for a moment the movements of the prophet? Brother, I read verse 21, and I've been reading this verse for years now. I've been trying to ponder verse 21 in God's presence and the fear of God. Brother, could I speak a tender word? Could I speak a word from a tender spirit? Oh, my brother, today listen. God is not only interested in the fact that the meaning of the prophet is to bring his mind to his people. But brethren, God is interested in the movements of the prophets. Listen to verse 21 again. Could I read it with a subdued voice and with a tender spirit? Could I read it in the fear of God so that everyone today with a burden about the ministry of God's word at the spirit would get it into all our hearts? Listen to the verse. I have not sent these prophets. He's interested in the movements of the prophets. I have not sent. Brethren, they are moving without the authority of God behind their movements. I have not sent these prophets. He doesn't say they're not prophets. But what he does say is this, that he didn't send them. He's interested in the movements of the prophets today representatively. I have not sent these prophets, yet they run. Brother, the man I was thinking about in this connection was the man in 2 Samuel chapter 18. Do you remember Ahimaaz? The chapter says he was a good man. The chapter says that he was a good runner. The chapter indicates that he had carried tidings before. And Joab says, my son, you'll carry tidings again. But not that day. Not that day. Oh, my dear brother, in 2 Samuel chapter 18, there was a man, and he was a good man, and he was a good runner, and he had carried good tidings before, and in the will of God he will again. But brethren, he runs that day, and he was not sent. Let me just draw very, very close to this little section. You know, he pleaded with Joab, let me run, let me run. Let me run. And Joab tried to restrain the man. Brethren, my earnest prayer today is this, that the Spirit of God will restrain men from running if there's no message from God. Being fair to Joab, oh, we all know there are things in that man's heart and life that's not commendable. Brother, I'm thinking of few occasions when there is definite commendation. He tried to restrain David from numbering the people, but David wouldn't listen. And you know the sad outcome of that passage in 2 Samuel 24? In 2 Samuel 18, he tried to restrain Ahimaaz from running, but he wouldn't be restrained. My dear brother, could I speak to my dear brother who are moving publicly for God and who are with us this weekend? Oh, that the Spirit will restrain and we will all listen to the pleadings of the restraining voice of the Spirit. If we have no message for God's people, brother, don't run. don't run. Do you remember when Ahimaaz came into the presence of the king? David is longing for a word. I believe there are saints here today and they're just longing for a word from the Lord. David's on the housetop. He's watching. He's waiting. He wants some word of communication. Brethren, David is at the point of desperation and he wants some word. He wants some word. I believe I'm looking into the faces of dear brothers and sisters today. And is it not possible some of them, even young brothers and sisters, the teenagers who are with us, the older people as well, maybe they are at the point of desperation and they want a word from the Lord today. Brother, don't run if you have no word from the Lord for them. Can you notice now? He comes into the presence of the king and David asks him about the tidings. Oh, Joab has told him. Joab has already told him. He says, my son, you have no tidings today. You have no tidings today. You can't run without tidings. Brother, some men run without tidings. He is one man in 2 Samuel 18. And when he comes into the presence of the king, brother, he just did not meet the need of the king. Brother, could I speak with a tender heart today? I was so glad last night when our dear brother Gary finished the meeting last night. And he said a word as I'm trying now to encourage my dear servants, my dear brother who are fellow servants. He encouraged us last night that the saints had been praying for us, that we might get help from God and bring a ministry for God's people. I was encouraged with that last night. I want to give you a word of encouragement, brother. My dear fellow servants in the work of God, I want to give you a word of encouragement. The man Ahimaaz, who ran without a message, he just had nothing to meet David's need with. Brother, if you run without a message, you are not going to meet the need of this company today. Oh, there's a need. There's a great need. Our brother Barber was saying about home conditions, marriage relationships, the need for the overseeing brethren, the need of the old and the young. My brethren, there is a need today in the conference. Let us come as being sent by God with a message to meet the need of the people who are gathered in the conference today. Would you notice my verse 21? The movements of the prophets. I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesy. God gave them no word, and yet they spoke. No authority, yet they ran. No word from the Lord, and yet they spoke. Brethren, could I just leave that point now? I'm not going to labour it. I'm trying to encourage my brethren. I hope my dear fellow servants are appreciating that I'm only here to try and give them encouragement. The meaning of the prophets, the movements of the prophets. They ran and were not sent. They spoke and they had no message. I trust that will be a real cautionary word for all my dear brethren this weekend. Thirdly, would we look at the ministry of the prophets? Did you notice that word in verse 22? But if they had stood in my counsel, what does that mean, brethren? If they had stood in my counsel. You know, I was very, very impressed with the thought of the word counsel here. You know what it really means? Could I give you an illustration of it, again from the Word of God? Go back in your mind to 2 Samuel chapter 23. And you'll read about a man there called Benaiah. Chapter 23 and verse 23. It's easy to remember. There's a man there called Benaiah. A very good man, a faithful man to David. And to the things of God. Listen to what David said. It says that David set Benaiah over his guard. Now, brother, that word guard means counsel. David set Benaiah over his counsel. And you know this, brother, I just took a little close look at the Hebrew meaning of this here. I'm like Mr. Maxwell and others of my dear brethren. I like to look into some of the words. Helpful. We know that that's not what all our life should be. There ought to be waiting and meditating and turning the Word of God over in our minds of spiritual meditation. And then, of course, there is room for looking into these words. And I just took a look into the Hebrew meaning linked with this word, guard, counsel. Brother, I want to tell you, I was absolutely delighted when I got this meaning. Let me share it with you. Do you know what David's really saying? David set Benaiah over his counsel to carry out David's secret commands. Did you get that, brother? David set Benaiah over his guard, over his counsel, to carry out David's secret command. Well, what do we mean, brother? What is the ministry of the prophets? What did God intend that the ministry of the prophets should be? Brother, they should bring to God's people God's secret commands that He has imparted to His prophets. Have you got that, brother? Could I again encourage my brother? My dear fellow servant, God, I believe if you've been in the secret place with God, I believe God by His Word and the power of the Spirit has imparted to you some secret commands that He wants you to bring to the people of God this weekend. Brethren, have you been in the secret place with God? I hope you have. Have you been alone in the secret place, listening to the voice of God through the Word of God? The great exercise of Benaiah was to carry out before the people God's secret commands. Oh, brother, that's the ministry of the prophets. Would you notice again the ministry of the prophets down in verse 28? What is it, brother? He that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. Brother, why? Why did God intend that the prophets would carry God's secret commands to His people? Why does God intend in the ministry of the prophets that they will speak my word faithfully? Brother, just look again at verse 22. If these prophets would carry God's secret commands, and these prophets will speak God's word faithfully, do you know what the purpose? Brethren, verse 22 is one of the purposes of a God-given ministry. You know what it is? Do you notice verse 22? Then they should have turned my people from their evil way and from the evil of their doings. My dear fellow servants, do you know that God has put something into your hand and heart, and God wants to use His secret commands, and He wants to use His word that you must preach faithfully, and He wants to use that word that it might be a means of turning God's people from the evil of their ways and from their evil doings. Brethren, is there not young people with us this weekend, and maybe this is just the word they need to hear? Maybe there are older saints, this is the word they need to hear, that they might be turned from their evil ways and from the evil of their doings. My brother, maybe the spiritual life and testimony of some young man or some young woman is in your hand. Therefore, you need to bring God's secret commands, and you need to speak God's word faithfully this weekend. The ministry of the prophets. What kind of a ministry is it? Brethren, in verse 29, it's like fire and it's like a hammer. Well, you see, that's some ministry. Brethren, that's what God says His word is like. The man that brings God's word, he's bringing fire and he's bringing a hammer in relation to the people of God, because this is God's word. It's like a fire. The fire burns and the hammer breaks. Maybe God has a word. And brethren, when I thought of the fire, I thought of two thoughts. That's why last night in the prayer meeting, I prayed, and even prayed this morning, that possibly there needs to be a ministry for the heart and a ministry for the conscience. Brethren, thank God the word of God is a fire. It can bring some warmth into the hearts of God's people. The word of God can bring in a fire into our heart. Brethren, we get so cold at times in our affection. We get so cold. We need the fires of the word of God to give us that heat and that warmth again in relation to our God and to that blessed, lovely man that died at Calvary for us. Brethren, we need the fire of the word of God to warm our cold hearts at times. Brethren, my dear fellow servants, is it not possible that if some brother or sister here and got cold in heart, it's easy, isn't it? Brethren, it's so easy to get cold in heart. It's so easy to get out of touch with the Lord and His things. My dear fellow servants, you bring God's word today that God has given you, and you might be the man that's going to warm up some cold heart, and you're maybe going to save some young Christian from going out in a backslidden condition into the world, away from the Lord and away from the assembly. Brethren, can you see how important it is to speak God's word faithfully? It's like a fire that can warm up a cold heart, but brethren, I believe it's like a fire as well, because sometimes it burns the conscience in relation to a life that we're not living for God. Sometimes the very fire of the word of God begins to burn into our conscience. And brethren, we're convicted of a life that we're living, a life that we should not be living, a life of some secret sin. May the word of God burn some conscience this weekend as my fellow servants handle God's word faithfully. It's a fire. But notice, it's a hammer. It breaks the rock in pieces. Oh, it burns, but it can break. Is there a stubborn will that needs to be broken? Is there a saint here rebellious? Is there one here today and you want to go along in your evil ways and your own doings? The spirit of rebellion. My fellow servants, bring God's word to the platform and minister it faithfully, that you might break the stubborn will, that you might turn the rebellious heart away from themselves and back to the Lord and to the good word of God. This week. The meaning of the prophets, the movements of the prophets, the ministry of the prophets. Brethren, could I just say four things and sit down? Did you notice the three times against, against, against? Why was God against them in verse 30? Because they steal my words every man from his neighbour. What does that mean? What does that mean, brother? In which sense were the prophets stealing? The word is to rob. To rob. To steal. Will a man rob God? God was being robbed in Malachi's day. Brethren, it's not God that's being robbed in Jeremiah 23. It's God's people who are being robbed. In which sense is God against these prophets because they steal my word? God says, everyone from his neighbor. You know what they were doing, brethren, or what they were not doing? They were stealing. They were defrauding. They were keeping back from God's people the word that God wanted the people to get. What did verse 30 mean? It means, brethren, that God's prophets were robbers. They were robbers. They were robbing God's people of hearing God's word because they wouldn't eat it. Let him that hath thy word speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat? Brethren, God's people don't want chaff this weekend. They want real wheat. I've just got one word over verse 30. Unfaithful. Unfaithful. Stealing from God's people the very word that God wants to give the people of God. My dear fellow servants, could I encourage you? Please, this weekend, don't steal God's words from God's people. Give them the word of God. Give them the mind of God this weekend. It might cost you much. You might not be too popular. But that's not the important thing. Brethren, it's better to be popular with God than popular with men. Don't rob God's people because you don't want to bring God's mind to the people. Verse 30, they were unfaithful. Notice in verse 31, they were untruthful. Oh, they were untruthful. Oh, they were bringing some kind of a dream to God's people. And you know what they said? They said, he said, tell you, brother, with no reverence on that, you know. Imagine these prophets saying, he said. Do you notice the word in verse 31? I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that use their tongues and say, he said. Oh, brethren, that we might have a holy regard and a holy reverence for the name of our God. I understand in the Gospels that the proper word is, we don't want this to reign over us. The expression man is not there. What they say is that we don't want this to reign over us. No regard for the person of Christ. Oh, brethren, and could I appeal primarily to my preaching, brethren? Have a holy regard and reverence for the name of our God. They were untruthful as well as being unfaithful. What they brought to the people of God, it wasn't God's mind, and yet they tried to say with their lips, this is the word of God. Untruthful. Would you notice in verse 32, brethren, unprofitable. Do you notice that word? They caused my people to err. You know what that means? They were causing God's people to go astray, to wander from the path of God's will. By their lies, they were untruthful, unfaithful. And notice, by their lightness. Do you know what that word means? I looked again at the Hebrew word here. Do you know what this word lightness means? It means by their pride and vainglory. Brethren, it's too bad when the preacher comes to the pulpit and there's pride about the dear preacher. You know what God says? They cause my people to err by their lies and by their lightness. Yet I sent them not, nor commanded them. Therefore they shall not profit this people. Verse 30, unfaithful. Verse 31, untruthful. Verse 32, unprofitable. My dear fellow servants, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with us. The dear people of God want some spiritual profit from your ministry and mine as it comes from the very heart of God. Finally, brethren, would you notice in verse 36, and the burden of the Lord shall ye mention no more. For every man's word shall be his burden. For ye have perverted the words of the living God. Brethren, what does this word mean? Do you know, brethren, that the prophets who bring their own word to God's people, they have more burden about their own word than about God's word. That's what this verse means. You check it when you go home, brethren. They had a greater burden for their own words. Tell you, brethren, some of us can carry a tremendous conviction about our own words and our own things and carry little conviction for God's things. Here's men who have a great burden about their own words, but have no burden about the word of the living God. Notice the word, for ye have perverted the word of the living God. Verse 30, unfaithful. Verse 31, untruthful. Verse 32, unprofitable. Verse 36, unreliable. Brethren, God has no confidence in the man that will pervert his words. And I think, speaking in a general sense, God's people will have no confidence in the man that perverts the word of God. He twists it and turns it and tries to give it another kind of a meaning. Brethren, let us face the realities of the word of God this weekend. Could I sit down by saying this, brethren, fellow servant, I want to encourage you this weekend that you'll come to the public place and bring God's mind. Bring the word of God to God's people. Brethren, don't give them chaff. Give them spiritual peace. Give them the word of God. Bring in the fires of the word. Bring in the hammer of the word. Let him that hath my word speak my word faithfully. Brethren, bring God's secret commands out to the people of God, that this might be a weekend of spiritual profit for God's dear people, and that there might be God's blessing amongst us in the salvation of precious souls. May God bless the word of try to give in weakness and fear and trembling at the very commencement of our conference today, brethren, that it might be an encouragement to God's dear people, and especially to the dear servants of the Lord.